is kept with thanksgiving in my heart. How we enter his court with praise. I will say, this is the day that Yeshua has made. I will rejoice, for he has gladdened my heart. I will enter.
need, there's not a situation, not a circumstance that you cannot address. And so, Lord, oh God, we cast every care, every concern, every situation at your feet. We may not know how to resolve them, but Lord, oh God, you have billions and trillions of ways of resolving every issue, whether they be health issues, financial issues, relational issues, marital issues, whatever the issues are, business issues, educational issues. We cast all cares to you. And we ask, oh God, that mercy will operate in its full intensity in our lives. And Lord, oh God, that because of mercy, there will be a resolution for all circumstances, that we may have more reasons to give thanks day by day. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God. God bless you for being here tonight. We're studying through the book of Colossians, and we are in the fourth chapter. And this fourth chapter starts out in a very interesting way. It says, Masters, those who are in authority. The word is the Greek word kyrios. And this is a word that not only relates to human masters, but it's a word that relates directly to God himself. And so when we look at this word, masters, kyrios, sir, Lord, we are talking about a statement that relates not only to us, but to God also. And it says here, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. That's comforting. Because this is not a statement just related to us and how we should deal with those that are employed by us. But since we are all employed by God and our service is unto God, this is a statement that says to us that God will give unto us that which is just and equal. It says, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You have a master in heaven, a kyrios in heaven. So deal with people as you want to be dealt with. And that is a very important point to take a hold of, not only in terms of what our actions are meant to be, but as a connecting point to addressing those that are in service. That each person be addressed or dealt with in a way that is proper, in a way that is honorable, in a way that is just, in a way that is equal. And so we must be in that place of believing God to deal with each other from an equitable position. whichever place we are. We must see that God is calling us to that very special place where he uses the word kurios or kurios. How do we take this as a promise point? Well, I remember a statement the Lord led me to share with us many years ago. And God will not ask us to do something that he is incapable of doing. So if God says, I need to forgive so many times, he holds himself to that same standard. If God says, give, he holds himself to that same standard. Whatever God commands me to do, he holds himself to that same standard. He does not hold himself to a lesser standard. And so when he talks about fairness here, I can take that as a promise and go to the Lord if I feel that I'm not being treated properly. I can go to the Lord and ask God and say, God, your word says this, masters give unto your servants that which is just and equal. I don't feel that things are just or equal. I can go to God because the word of God tells me that whatever it is that I do, I must know that I'm doing it as unto the Lord. So ultimately, my kurios, my master is the Lord. So my pay raise is coming from the Lord. I cannot put that on people, even though I have the right to, but ultimately, I need to go to the one who is Lord over my life to address the situation. Now, the word of God says here, masters, give unto your servants. Now that puts an onus on me that if I have somebody under my employment, that I need to pay them proper wages. If I cannot pay the proper wages, I have no business employing that person. You should not employ somebody that you cannot pay properly. But if I need the employment, then I must believe God for the resources to deal in a just and equal way. That's just the way it is. We trust God for what we need to deal with people equally, adequately. If you cannot employ the person full-time, maybe half-time. If not half-time, a quarter-time. But whatever the time is, it has to be just. Straight talk. Then it says, continue in what? Prayer. That's the connecting point. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch in the same in your prayer with thanksgiving, but what is it related to? Where we started. So that tells me something, that there is a challenge here to be able to deal equitably with people when you have them in your employment. And the only way to address this is to shoot higher than what is normal and trust God with thanksgiving to be able to meet that level that is right, that is fair. We must continue in prayer, and we must do so with thanksgiving. And then it goes on, it says, with all praying also for us. Pray for us also. That God would open unto us a door of utterance. That God will open up opportunities for us to speak. What is that related to? Well, it is related to the fact that they want to have opportunity to speak the word of God, but it's also related to verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. How is it related? Well, if I'm not busy, a workman is worthy of his what? Of his pay. Yes? So if I'm not busy doing stuff as unto the Lord, then I'm not worthy of that amount. That makes sense? But it goes further than that. Because he puts a very interesting twist to this statement. That God will open unto us a door of utterance. And then he says, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I am in bonds. I am in chains. I am imprisoned. So, where does my opportunity come? If a workman is worthy of his wages, and I'm in bonds, I'm in prison, then how am I going to get my wages? How am I going to get my increase? By God giving me opportunities to have utterance. Now, how does that affect me as a businessman or a businesswoman? God give me opportunities to have contracts so that I can have proper income. Give me opportunities to be creative so that my boss can see my creativity and say, wow, you're doing a great job. Here's a pay raise. You help in this company. Opportunities. Don't let me, no matter how tight the situation is, not to have the opportunity to experience continued increase. I don't know if that is all making sense to you, but we're taking it up from the very first statement in the chapter. And so my cry to God is, God, give me opportunities for utterance. And I'm expecting that you will reward me, that you will deal with me equitably, that you will bless me, and that you will honor my commitment to your vision and to your purpose, because you're a fair God. For which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Those are opportunities. Pray for me for those opportunities. Good, those God opportunities so that I am fully connected to what God is doing, and so that God can, in His grace, reward me for what I am doing. Now, not every one of us has the opportunity to be employed by an organization to do particular things. So what does it mean if I'm volunteering my services? Well, since we are all working for the Lord, then I should expect that God will, in His sovereign grace, reward me in whichever way for my services. Nobody works for free. Not when you're working for the Lord. God finds a way to recompense you. Amen? Hallelujah. So, whether I'm volunteering or I'm employed, whatever it is I'm doing is as unto the Lord, and ultimately my reward comes from the Lord. Amen? Now, for those that are ministering, whether they are employed or they are volunteering, those that they are volunteering to or serving, whether they are employed or volunteering their services as unto the Lord, God works through people. Yeah? God works through people. So how I treat those that are serving me or ministering to me is of importance to God. That I'm fair and equitable. Now, you go to a restaurant, you might say, well, it's their job and they're getting paid. That's true. But does that stop you from tipping them? Because they're getting paid? If you want favor, you've got to extend favor. If somebody comes to the gas, you're at a service station, and they come and they pump your gas for you. Well, you could have done it yourself, but somebody did it for you. What stops you from tipping them? Giving them something. Say, thank you. Might be a dollar, it might be $2, it might be $5, it might be whatever. Oh, but the gas is so expensive. Well, everything is expensive. That person might be getting a particular wage, but they are serving you. So reciprocate by doing something to express your appreciation for their service. Well, that is part of your sowing, and that's also going to be part of your harvest. Because God is going to see what you're doing, or somebody's going to see what you're doing, and give you a nice handshake, you know, a holy handshake, and you feel something in there. Wow! Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, you've been doing the same. Somebody's helping you, and they didn't say, well, I'm doing this, you know, so you can pay me. Tip them. Tip them good. Maybe you should have paid them $100, but they came to service you and help you. If you give them $50, that's a good tip for just volunteering their time and coming to help you. Or you can give them $100 or whatever it is you want to give to them. Nothing stops you from doing any of that. But in everything that God has called us to, as it relates to the master servant, the curious aspect, let us pull all of that together and understand that the Word of God says, you sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. And in that obedience to the Word of God, this next statement makes absolute sense. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the coming, the hearing, and the doing of the will of God. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, those that are not believers. Walk with wisdom with them, redeeming the time. Know how you talk with them. Know how you deal with them. Give them no opportunity to deride the will of God. And this is a very important point because it has to do with, in an indirect way, it has to do with bills. Remember the master servant? If somebody comes and works for you, pay them. Now, I'm just looking at just one aspect of that particular statement. That does not mean that these verses don't expand beyond this point. But if somebody comes and does the job for you, pay them. They gave a service. They're not running their business, by some miracle. They have their bills. They have their employees that they have to pay. And if I don't pay them, how do they pay their employees? Now, if I'm a believer and that person is not a believer and they give me the bill and I don't pay my bill, I'm not presenting God properly. That makes sense? So it goes back to the master. So what, when we go back to verse 1 and we talk about master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. God is giving me an opportunity to become a master, to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. So I can come to God and cry out to God and say, God, you've called me a master. And as a master, I must deal righteously. I must deal rightly. I must deal with those that I'm working with properly, equitably. I must deal with those who come and give service. I should not owe them. I should not be waiting. They should not be waiting for 60 days, 120 days, 150 days, 360 days, and for me to just pay a bill. And I must not become, I must not declare bankruptcy and they lose. So God bless me that I do righteously. Bless me. Now, what is my role in tapping into that grace? Giving as much as I can in my little way. It might be a tune at the gas station. But I'm giving something, sowing something, expecting a harvest. I am giving to the work and the service of the Lord. expecting something. I'm blessing another brother or another sister. I have my bills, I have all of that, but I'm sowing so that I, as a master, can come to the fullness or the manifestation of that will of God. So that I play that role that God is calling me to. I'm paying my bills and redeeming the time. God's name is not being dishonored because of my time and not doing the right thing. And then it goes on, and I'm just looking, you know, we can go all kinds of ways with this particular passage of Scripture, but I'm just looking at verse 1 and using that verse 1 as our cornerstone to look at what he's talking about here. And that's exactly what he's doing. But those words, those particular verses can be applied in so many areas of our lives. But I'm just looking at it from the thread that he starts out with and just pulling on that thread and seeing where this thread is going. So he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how ye ought to answer every man. And that statement, let's go back to the bills. It is a matter of be truthful. Be real. If you're having issues, talk to the person. Say, well, man, this is what I really like to do. For whatever reason, I'm not able to do it right now. But how can we resolve this situation? What can I do? And stick with the plan. Stick with it. You know, sometimes people make promises and they know they're not going to keep that promise. Don't ever make a promise that you're going to do something when you know absolutely that you're not going to do it. Say, well, I was just believing by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God? Faith in the fact that you're a master? And that God will reward you? Faith in the fact that you are doing the things that you ought to do in positioning yourself? Or just wishful thinking? And what happens many times is people live in that world of wishful thinking. And things fall apart. And but what is important is that we do what we know we ought to do, speak with grace, the enablement of the Word of God. Help me to do something that I cannot do in myself or by myself. Seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt means to slow down corruption, to make things tasteful. That makes sense? You know, things are going bad, but I'm going to speak the speech of the wisdom of God and declare that I'm not going down, I'm going over. Rather than speak what your circumstance is, speak what you believe in God for, what you trust in God for, what you can work with. And on the basis of how you are hearing from God, you know how you need to answer every man with the wisdom of God. Letting people know what the beef is, what the issues are, what you believe in for, what you trust in needs to happen, what you're doing to change this situation. Because it's not always going to be night. It's not always going to be night. The day breaks. And the situation today is not always going to be the way it is right now. Somehow, some way, God in His mercy will change things and help you. So you don't determine everything based on where you are right now. You base everything you do based on the determination of where you believe God by His grace to take you. Because if you don't, you will always get stuck and you'll never stretch beyond where you are, because you're just looking at your circumstance. You're not looking at the bigness of God, who is your ultimate master, who is giving you opportunities. So let's say I go out to some country and I go there and I minister. They wanted the ministry. I go there, I paid for my flight, I paid for my hotel, I paid for everything, and I get there, and they don't give me a dime. And that happens. Not a dime. Do I leave that place, hating those people, cursing them? These people, things are not going to be good for you. No. You don't do that. If they didn't give anything to you, God knows. You went there to minister to them. And I've gone to places where I came and I gave so much to them. I wasn't expecting anything from them, because their currency, you know, $1 is maybe $1,000, the equivalent of $1,000 for them. People's wages is like $1.50 or maybe 50 cents a whole day. What are you expecting from them? How much are you expecting from them? You know, you don't go there to be a burden, but you've got to preach the gospel. Now, you may go to some other place and they just treat you like you, you know, a king, let you do nothing. Wow. If that's all you see and that's all you think will happen, well, you've got your priorities misplaced. Going out there, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have some kind of special income. What you can trust God for is that God, in His mercy and in His grace, will bless you. The team and I do quite a few crusades every month in different television programs and whatever else. I don't get a dime for any of that. In fact, we invest in buying Bibles for a lot of these places. Are they going to ever pay for it? No. Do I expect them to? No. Who do I expect to reward me? My master. And what does he do? He creates more opportunities. Oh my, more opportunities for what? For me to serve, and I still don't get paid. Lord, what? And then one day, boom, there. You want to do something like we did here? And boom, there. Breakthroughs. I was pricing something the other day because our marquee is beginning to die after some 12 plus years. The pixels that are dying. And so I know we need to replace it. So I did some investigation on how much it will cost. And shockers, anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000. For those two marquees, look at what we did here. And I say, you're not serious. I said, Lord, you've done it before. If I want to do it again, how do I go about it? And the Lord showed me the way. So if I wanted to do it today, I might get it done maybe for about $6,000 or $7,000, not $100,000. God has his way of managing whatever it is so that you get the full impact of results that you would have had if you did such and such. Do you understand what I mean? So there's no limit to how God rewards you. There's no limits to the ways that God will meet your needs and provide for you so that you can accomplish everything that he's assigned for you to accomplish. But you must speak the language of faith. That's of utmost importance. You cannot speak the language that is filled with corruption. Your words have to be seasoned with salt. The Bible says when salt loses its seasoning, it's not good for anything but to be what? Trampled under the feet of man. We must not lose our seasoning. And not losing our seasoning means that we're not speaking the limitations of our circumstance, but speaking the language of faith, recognizing that God, who has given you an opportunity, will also make provision by his grace. So you know how to answer every man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me venture into this next segment. He shifts slightly and says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Tychicus is going to come. I'm limited right now in the natural, but Tychicus is going to come and he's going to tell you about my state. What is this all about? It is not a denial. You know, you don't deny what's happening. You say what is happening, but with the language of faith. Amen? He says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your hearts. This is a relational aspect. This is the sense of community. We're a community. I'm going through certain things. I can't come to you. But Tychicus is going to come, and he's going to tell you how things are with me, as they are. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. This is what's happening. And he's going to find out how you are, and he's going to come back and tell me. This is what's happening with them. This is what they're believing for. This is what they're trusting God for. These are opportunities that's open to them. Go tell them to pray for me so that more opportunities are open for me. I'm in bondage right now. I'm in prison. I'm limited. But this imprisonment is not going to stop me. When COVID came, it didn't stop us because God told us very clearly, shut doors, open doors. And when the doors were shut, God opened doors. Hallelujah. He opened doors to give us opportunity to keep on doing ministry. And every the point is, every ministration, every opportunity that we use to minister the goodness of God, faithfully, God will recompense. God will reward. So whatever it is that I am doing, I must do as unto the Lord. And I'm sure you've heard me say it many times before, that when I'm ministering the word of God, I'm ministering to the audience of one. I'm ministering to the Lord. It's like I see him there watching me preach the word, teach the word. And he needs to say, okay, that's good. It's not the amount of people. It's the fact that I'm doing what he's called me to do. I remember I have an uncle. Well, we'll call him an uncle in the Nigerian sense. Everybody that's related somehow is an uncle. Uncle so-and-so. I remember the last time, I believe, must have been the last time I had seen him. I was at his house and I was heading out. So this would be 78, sometime in June of 78, because I left Nigeria. Okay, July of 78. I left Nigeria July of 78 to go to the States. And I was at his house and you're doing Bible study. And there was a particular passage of scripture. The scripture talked about ministering the word in season and out of season. So it was my turn to make a comment. And I made a comment on the passage. But I made a comment on the passage without giving the full implication of understanding of the passage. It was intentional. My uncle, who's a minister, after I'd made my comment and everything, he said, well, you made a good point there, but, and he corrected what I said. And he was right on, so I knew, now, this guy really cares about me. Because he did not allow me to get away with giving partial truth. And I said to myself that day, well, thank God for this uncle. His name, you know, he might be listening, or somebody from the family might be listening. I said, this uncle, Pastor Peter Ejemurua, is a good man of God. I took note of it. He's a good man of God. But from this day on, if I'm going to expound on the word of God, I'm going to do it full blast. Get it all properly covered. I made a commitment that day. Because I did not want to create a sense that I didn't know what I was talking about. It was just a temporary situation to hear the heart of somebody who cares about what you have to say. Now, God doesn't tempt us. But I guess people tempt us, like I was doing that day. But I came to full understanding. People who care about you will not let you slide. They will give you the real gist so that you continue to be the best you that you can be. I say all of that in relationship to this verse because sometimes we want to cover up stuff. We don't tell it as it is. And we think not telling it as it is means that we are not in faith. Telling it as it is, but not dwelling in a situation as it is, but speaking the language of God concerning the situation, is what true faith is. Faith is not a denial of the reality. If I'm broke, I'm broke. If I'm sick, I'm sick. I'm not going to say I'm not sick, because that's the language of faith. No, I'm sick, but God is my healer. That's a complete statement. I'm broke, but God is my provider. That's the fullness of this statement. Pretending that things are not bad does not make it not bad. Now, you cannot say everything to everybody in the same way, because they cannot handle it. There are things that might be going through as a church that I will not share with everybody, because they cannot handle it, or they may misconstrue what I'm saying, or determine something else. So what's the point if you cannot solve the problem? Why am I restating it to you? But that does not mean I cannot say to another brother who I know will pray, will believe, will trust. I got a note the other day that I thought was quite interesting. Somebody sent me the financial report for the particular weekend, and said something like, God of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I chuckled, because I knew what that meant. Well, this offering doesn't look good, but we serve a God who can take the little that we've got and make something good out of it. I say amen to that. Not burying your head in the sand. Everything is wonderful. Well, not sometimes everything is not that wonderful, but God is. And I can come back and testify, look at how bad things were, but look at what God has done. Amen? So, in a sense, Paul is saying, let's be real. This is the state of things. I'll find out how the state of things is with you. So, in conclusion, back to the master servant. This is my situation. Things are hard for me right now, but I intend to honor my commitment to you. This is what I'm going to do. How are you guys doing? Is everybody in the same state that I am? And if so, how you are able to handle your bills? Because I know I have bills. Of course, I'm owing you. But you must have bills because you owe somebody else. How are you guys doing? As I'm praying for me, I'm praying for you. Prayer is not going to solve any problem, but you know what? They're going to walk away and say, no. That's an interesting meeting I had. These guys will be praying for us so we can handle our bills, so that other people can pay us. Well, any which way it comes. But we've got to be real. I think that's all Colossians chapter 4 is talking about. Let's be real. Don't be a fake. Don't be a phony. Deal with people properly. If you can't pay, say it up front. I can't pay, but this is what I need. up front. How can we deal with this? If you can pay, pay. Well, sometimes, you know, you might owe somebody, a company, and they charge you interest for the time that you've not paid. And you can decide, I'm not paying you that interest. This is the amount I owe you. I'm not paying any other amount. Well, it's your right to do that. But it's also your right to decide, well, if I really want to be fair with these guys, I should pay them what I owe them and pay them for their patience. Yeah. So it's not a matter of interest. It's a matter of I need to be fair with them, that they were so patient. This is an extra 100. This is an extra 200. This is an extra whatever. Just to say thank you. That becomes a testimony. Oh, you paid us too much. Now, you guys have been very kind. If you had that money in the bank, you would have made so much more for it. But it's not about that. It's about me just saying thank you. Just thank you. It builds for good relationships. It causes us to redeem times, bring about restoration. And we can do all of that in faith, by faith, and through faith, by the graces of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful experience of hearing your word. We pray, O God, that you will help us live accordingly, that we will not be people that owe, but people that give. Your word says, owe no man but love. That we will always feel that we need to give out more love and express love wherever we are, at all times. You've called us Kyrios, masters. Help us, O God, to be honorable masters who deal justly and equitably. Lord, you are our master. Grace us with your abundance. You are a generous God. You do not pay like man pays. So we trust you for total provision. Total provision. And the grace to be honorable men and women. Honorable as ministries. May the language of bankruptcy never be part of our story. May the language of lack never be part of our story. Because we place our trust in you, our Heavenly Father, Lord, Master, and King forever. In Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, for this. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I trust that we picked up something from our discourse this evening. May the Lord continue to guide each one of us so that we walk uprightly before Him and be a testimony of faithfulness. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let's honor God, trust in Him with our resources, and expect Him, His abundance in our lives at all times. May God create opportunities for service for us, opportunities that will cause Him to shower us with much favor for everything that we do us unto Him. May He embrace our givings today, breathe upon it, and cause it to flourish in the abundance that's only possible in Him. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of God, and may He cause you to prosper in all that you do, all of your days. In Jesus' name we decree it so. Amen. And be reminded once again about the Christmas Eve service, 10 a.m. Christmas Eve. Christmas Day service is on Sunday, same time. There'll be no Christmas Sunday evening service. New Year's Eve service is on the 31st, that's Saturday night, starting at 9 o'clock. And please don't miss that service. God bless you. Good night. Anybody on